liturgical rules, you're not supposed to light the Advent candles after Christmas. But I really like the symbolism, and it's really, really pretty. And so we're not going to put me in liturgical jail, are we? But we're going to light the Christ candle because Christ has come. And pray with me. Father, we bless you and we honor you that you are the light of the world, that your name is faithful and true. And Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you came. And Lord, I pray the truth of that it would sink down deep into our hearts, that we would get a revelation of that truth more than we've ever seen it before. We thank you for the angels that sang that night. Glory to God in the highest, the shepherds and the theme of joy the night that you were born. And Father, I pray today that you would fill us with joy of being in your presence, and the Holy One, that you would come, that you would anoint your word as it's played, as it's read, as it's sung, as it's declared. Emmanuel, come and truly be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah chapter 9 together. Isaiah chapter 9 verses 2, 6, and 7. Let's read this together. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. the redemption, your word says, is one of those things that the angels long to look into. They just like, wow, why would Jesus do such a thing? And Lord, we bless you and we honor you, the wonders of your love, that you would humble yourself and become a human baby. Lord, we just bless you and honor you for this season, for what you've done. And Lord, we love you. We say thank you. Thank you for coming into the world. Thank you. Lord, we're thankful for Dan and Susan Richardson. We will celebrate 57 years of marriage tomorrow. Lord, we just bless them in Jesus' name. We thank you for them. And Lord, we just thank you for a life well lived. And Lord, just bless Dan and Susan. We honor them, God. We pray for Don, Lord, who's recovering from back surgery. We would bless that you would heal him, that you would alleviate all pain. Father, we pray for Nancy's daughters, Audrey, whose house is flooded in Phoenix. And Jesus, we ask just for mercy there in Jesus' name. We ask for provision. We ask you for wisdom. Lord, we ask mercy upon Audrey and her family in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for John. He's recovering from COVID, Bob's grandson. And Lord, we pray for all of the people reminded of Darlene, all those right now that are suffering from COVID. Lord, you are the healer. You are the great physician. And Lord, we pray you would touch and you would heal John in Jesus' name, that his lungs would be strong, that you would just speak strength to him, a total restoration to John. You would speak strength to Darlene in Jesus' name, that you would raise her up. She would be whole and healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you that you're the Prince of Peace, and there's so much fear associated with this condition. And Lord, I just speak peace. Lord, we would be a people that would walk in peace with our eyes fixed on you, and we would not live in fear, that we would be wise. But Lord, I just speak peace over your people, the shalom of God, wholeness, peace of God over your people. Lord, we thank you for the generosity of this congregation and the giving, all of the financial giving, all of the giving of toys that was distributed. And Lord, we pray your mercy on those affected by the tornado. Lord, is there still, Lord, very much just coming out of that. We ask for your provision. We ask favor. We ask mercy. And we ask comfort in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the scripture that we read. For to us a son is born, and the government will be on his shoulders. Lord, we thank you for the kingdom of God that has come, that you ushered in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. And that light is inextinguishable. And we honor you, Jesus, for your kingdom, that you rule and that you reign, that you are the light of the world. And you said to your fathers, to us, to your disciples, that we are the light of the world because of you in us. And Lord, I pray we would be lights shining, Lord, that we would be good witnesses of your love, of your forgiveness, of your peace, of your truth. Lord, that we would walk in love, that we would walk in humility, we would walk in power, and be salt and light to a lost and dying world. We love you, we honor you, we bless you, Prince of Peace, Wonderful One, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. We honor you, we bless you. You are the Worthy One and you are the Holy One. You are the Faithful One and you are the True One. You are the Humble One who came. We love you. We thank you. We pray, Jesus, the prayer that you taught your disciples. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we offer our tithes, our gifts, and our offerings up to you. If you're worthy to receive all wealth, all riches, we offer it up to you as worship unto you. We pray you'd bless it, that you'd give wisdom in the use of it, and multiply it, and give joy to the givers. Provide all of our needs, Lord, according to your riches and glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And stand. Thank you.
the same region. There were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom He is pleased."
Amen. We're going to sing it. I think if I had to just pick one song, just one, I think this one may be my most favorite hymn. It's a Charles Wesley hymn, and if you're celebrating the 12 days of Christmas, this is a song that you can just take and meditate on the words of this song. Everything you need to know about Jesus is found in this hymn. I'm just astounded at Charles Wesley and how he was able to condense the incarnation into just three verses of a hymn. It's a powerful, powerful words. Who Jesus is, what he came to do. Hark the herald angels sing. Let's sing it.
Thank you.
the glory of the Lord. I don't know if it's the candles or I don't know if it's just me. Is anybody else hot in here? Woo! Can we turn the heat down? All right. Thank you. I am hot. So, woo! But the Lord is good. Father, we bless you and we honor you, Lord. You are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And Jesus, I thank you for the message that you've given to me. And Lord, I pray that you give us revelation. Holy Spirit, come and teach us, encounter us, give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, give us hearts to respond. Anoint me, Father, to declare the wonders of the incarnation. Give me the words to say, to fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been praying a lot about what to preach today and had an idea, but I thought, Lord, that is a really, really weird Christmas sermon. And so I was like, I don't know. And I woke up with the song that I will post after the service is over. I woke up with the song yesterday, actually. And it was just a confirmation. Yes, this is a word from the Lord. Last Sunday, I attempted to kind of go through and give highlights of the light and how light is used in the scriptures and how Jesus is the fulfillment of all of those Old Testament promises. And you have these beautiful, beautiful promises. Isaiah chapter 9 that Matthew actually quotes in Matthew chapter 4, I believe it is. And Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah 9 says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. And Isaiah chapter 60, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you. And Jesus is a fulfillment. The light has come, that these things of thick darkness, but Jesus is a fulfillment of light. And how do I begin to explain to you what that practically means? The incarnation of Jesus. And as I was praying about, Lord, I want to illustrate what it means, what it looks like that the light has come. What does that practically mean for each one of us? It's more than just a manger and a baby and coming and singing Christmas carols. As beautiful as that is, there's a deeper meaning to it, Lord. How can I illustrate that? And he reminded me of John chapter 11. I've never used that text as a Christmas sermon. It's a sermon. It's a text you probably are aware of. But as I go through this, how does this story illustrate to us that the light has come into the darkness? In John chapter 11, if Jesus had best friends, they would have been Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And his best friends come and they tell Jesus, Jesus, the one whom you love is sick. Turn with me to John chapter 11. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. And what was their expectation? If your best friend was Jesus, and your loved one was sick, and you call on Jesus to come, your expectation is that Jesus is going to drop everything he's doing and come and help you, right? And all of us, I think, have that expectation of Jesus. When we're sick, and the one whom we love sick, and we're hurting, we want Jesus to drop everything he's doing. Jesus, help me. Jesus, come. And that's exactly what Mary and Martha do. And it's interesting. Do you note here that this is the first time it says, the one whom you love is sick. The first time it uses that. I'm going to say it again. But when Jesus heard it, he dropped everything and ran to them. When Jesus heard it, is that what it says? No. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her he did what they said? No. So, when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. John wants us to get, because it goes out of his way to say that Jesus loved them. He loved them. They send word, the one whom you love is sick. Jesus does not drop everything that he's doing. He has a bigger plan. He doesn't convey that plan to Mary and Martha or Lazarus. He doesn't say it. And John goes out of his way. He loves them. He loves them. And he stayed 2 days longer where he was. Every single one of us can raise our hand to the answer of the next question. Have you ever been disappointed because God did not do what you wanted him to do? Have you ever been disappointed because you thought, God, I need you. You didn't come. You didn't do what I wanted you to do. He loved them. He loved them. He loved them. He stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let's go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you're going to go there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the night is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover. The disciples make an assumption, and it's a wrong assumption, and it's one of the rare occasions that Jesus is really straight up with the disciples. He's straight up with them. Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. The danger of going to Bethany was very, very real, and yet they go. And Thomas, who we all often just say, well, he's the doubter, here he's very courageous. It's like, no, let's go. Let's go with him. So the disciples, they come to Bethany. When they came, he found that Lazarus had been dead in the tomb 4 days. The symbolism of 4 days, Lazarus was not only dead, he was dead. He was dead beyond all hope. You're in the tomb for 4 days. You've been dead for 4 days. You are dead. No hope of resuscitation. And so that's the significance. He's dead. No hope. Been dead 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Again, all of us can raise our hand and say that, Jesus, if you had been here, fill in the blank. And Martha comes, and she's honest with Jesus. And some of us need to get honest with Jesus. Our relationship with Jesus begins when we get honest. And Martha comes to him, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, The teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. In this, John chapter 11, we get a glimpse into two sisters and the differences in two sisters. Martha comes and voices her disappointment. In this passage, Martha was kind of the intellectual one. And some of us, when we face grief, we want to reason it out. And we're trying to analyze things. And that's what Martha is doing. And she kind of has this theological dialogue with Jesus. She asks a theological question and is dialoguing with Jesus. And he gives her a profound statement. I am the resurrection and the life. Mary comes and says the same question. Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But while Martha was one that was trying to hold it all together and be in her head, Mary was devastated, absolutely crushed. She falls at Jesus' feet, weeping, hanging on to him, wailing, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And is Jesus stoic? Is he just cold? Get away from me. Settle down. You're being you're embarrassing me. You're being too emotional. Is he like, sister, I got this. I'm the victorious one. Watch what I'm going to do. Woo! I'm going to perform a miracle. I've got this. Is that what Jesus does? In the face of devastation, of deep anguish and emotional pain, probably the most devastated that Mary and Martha have ever been in their life. He responds to Martha in her intellectualism. And he responds to Mary in her complete devastation. Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. What's Jesus' response to her weeping and wailing and crying out? It says in John 11:33, he was deeply moved in his spirit, deeply moved, and he was greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Jesus, come and see. And Jesus wept. He wasn't stoic. He wasn't cold and distant. He wasn't Mr. Macho coming in to show his power. He wept with them. He saw the pain and the devastation, and he wept with them. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again. Y'all, don't miss that in this story. He's moved with compassion. He's grieved, and he's moved, deeply moved. He came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for you've been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Then the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face unwrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Well, that story, I think more than any other story in the Bible, illustrates for us the incarnation. Number one, it illustrates to us that Jesus came. He came. He came later than they wanted him to. He came in a way that they did not expect. There's the reassurance that he loved them. But he had a bigger plan. And they didn't see it. But he came. He came. He came. Number two, he dialogues with Mary and Martha. He dialogues with them. The incarnation proves to us that Jesus, God the Father Almighty, wants a relationship with us. And he wants that. He wants that communication. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to get real with him. Jesus, if he had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Ask him the big questions. Ask him. He may not answer in the way that you want him to. He may not answer right away. He may not answer in our understanding. But dialogue with him. Ask him the big questions. He dialogues with them. Number three is he wept with Mary. He wept with them. The writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus, he's our high priest. We don't have to have a high priest like they had in the Old Testament to offer up sacrifices, because Jesus came and he is the ultimate sacrifice. And because he became a humble human baby, that means he knows what you are going through. He knows what it's like to be lonely. He knows what it's like to just be rejected. He knows what it's like to be misunderstood. He knows what it's like to weep. It's astounding to me that Jesus doesn't just immediately comfort Mary. That he doesn't say, hey, baby girl, it's going to be all right. I've got this in hand. He weeps with her. The incarnation of Jesus Christ shows us, tells us that Jesus is, he's able to sympathize with us in our weaknesses. That the King of glory, the one through whom the worlds were made, the very Word of God, that he would come as an embryo and dwell in the womb of a woman. God could have made Jesus just come and appear as a man. When Adam and Eve are created, they're not infants. They're man and woman. You know, I don't know how old they were, but they weren't babies. They were men and women. And God could have done that in the incarnation of Jesus. But he doesn't do that. And the helplessness of a baby in a womb and then coming forth and lying in a manger? Come on! That's craziness! A stone cold manger with sheep and, you know, animals all around? What? That's what your king, the Messiah, came to do. Humble! Humble! So he can, he knows what it's like. He wept with her. And number four, he did not fit their narrative. Jesus, come. The one whom you love is sick. And Jesus did not come running like they thought he should or could and just immediately lay their hands on their brother Lazarus like they had seen him do to many, many others. God had a bigger plan. In the incarnation of Jesus Christ, you see it throughout the birth narratives. You see it with the scribes and the Pharisees. They had to scramble. Where's he going to be born? What's that star about? I don't know. Let's look at the scriptures. And they weren't expecting Jesus to come in the way that he Jesus so often doesn't fit our narrative. He doesn't do what we want him to do. The incarnation proves to us that Jesus is with us. His very name is Emmanuel, God with us. You shall call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means he saves. The light shines in the darkness. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Thick darkness covers the earth, but the Lord shall arise upon you. In this day and age where we see great darkness, don't ever forget that the light has come. Jesus is the light of the world. He shines in the midst of the darkness. The darkness cannot extinguish it. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Luke. Luke chapter 1, verse 78. Zechariah's prophecy concerning John the Baptist. He's saying, you're going to prepare the way. You're going to prepare the way for the sunrise. The sunrise is going to come, and he's going to give light to all shining in the darkness. In our disappointments, in the things we don't understand, never, ever, ever forget that Jesus came. Jesus came. He came. He came. He came. Where do you need Jesus in your life? Jesus came humbly, so humbly, are coming back in great glory. You came in humility, but you're coming back in great glory. And Lord, where we may be like Mary and Martha today, Jesus, if you've been here, pray that in the filling in of that statement, as we present our requests and our need before you, that you would minister to your people. Worship this one who is with us. Said, I've come into the world as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Giving thanks to the Father, says he's delivered us. Paul says he's delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Father, we thank you for light. We thank you for healing. We thank you for salvation. And Lord, I pray we would shine as lights in a dark, dark world, that we would be instruments, Lord, of your peace. You would fill us with your Holy Spirit. May we overflow with hope and joy by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.